So great results come from excellent questions. So how you ask the questions in your interview is super important. You want a tight interview guide and you want to stick to it to a point. So you want to make sure that you ask everyone the same set of questions. However, be open to tangents and going down these paths of, wow, that's super interesting. Can you tell me more about that? What would that look like to you? How would you want to consume that? How often would you want to get together? What would be the important subjects that we cover in that offering? Or what would be your timing? How many people would you want included? What would be the results that you expect? I mean, you can brainstorm in your journal all the questions that you want answers to and come from a place of sincere curiosity and active listening.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back, everyone, to day two of the Proven Profit Path. I'm so glad I didn't scare you away yesterday. I was wondering, I was like, oh my God, did I tell too many truths? Are they going to come back tomorrow? You know, the mind does funny things. So I'm glad to see everyone back here today, where we're going to really dive into demand generation and where do we find demand and how do we test out our ideas? How do we have more confidence that people want to buy what we're selling? Because we don't want that creation in a vacuum, and we don't want following someone else's formula when it isn't the right formula for you. So one thing that I'm a firm believer in is that only you are uniquely you, and that you are here for a reason. You are here to deliver value to your ideal clients, to your market in your unique way. And that's why nothing we do is cookie cutter. It's all about diving in and saying, what are you passionate about? What is the impact? What's the legacy you want to leave in the world with your work? And what is the right framework and formula for you to go out there and get clients, deliver your services, price your offerings, and live the life that you want to live as a CEO? And so it's all about you, my friends. Nothing, not about me. I am just a conduit for your own experience. So with that, we're going to dive into our training today, but I would love to hear, what was the primary takeaway from yesterday? Who looked over the Proven Profit Path and actually had some insights on where you need to focus the majority of your attention? Who would like to share?
I think for me, it was the understanding that how I was going to find out whether or not there was a need for what I'm thinking of doing and how to go about actually doing that. And also the fact that that's sort of what I thought I needed to do. And it comforted me to hear you say it so that I didn't think, oh my God, I'm completely off my rocker and so old school that that's not how it's done anymore.
Oh yeah. No, old school is the way it's done all the time, because you can't automate your way out of identifying where the demand is. And so having conversations with real humans, and we'll talk a little bit too on Thursday when it comes time to carving out that preeminent position in your market. Because it's your thought process, it's your point of view, and there's no AI bot in the world that can actually be you and think the way you think. And I think we're going to see a fallout in this marketplace with people relying too heavily on AI tools for their content. And if you can stand out with conviction on what you really care about, if you're giving people innovative ways to think about their challenges differently or think about solutions differently. We spend a lot of time doing that in all of our programs, because you really want to stop the scroll with like, oh my God, I have never thought about it that way. That's so brilliant. That's so interesting. I want to get to know Kim. So that's how we think. And tools can automate things and make it faster and easier to analyze the results and spot patterns. Anyone else with an insight yesterday, where do you need to focus? Is it on improving demand? Is it on carving out a position? Is it pricing and packaging? Where do you need to focus?
I need to focus on two things. One is the demand, and then revisiting the positioning for my niches.
Excellent. Yeah. So if you're returning to work that you once did before, the market is shifting and changing. You have changed. You have developed new point of views, new beliefs, new values, new views on things. And so, yes, absolutely. We retest. We're always, always, always practicing active listening to what people in our markets are talking about and how their needs have shifted and changed. Demand and position. Mindset was your lowest score. So one of my team said to me a couple of months ago, Deb, you're equally well-versed in mindset and skill set. And it's so true, because there's so much that gets kicked up on this journey that being able to reset yourself and being able to ground yourself on what's true is so important. All right, day two. Congratulations for sticking with it. I think 80% of success in entrepreneurship is actually showing up and sticking with it, despite what your mind might be saying. If you're new to us, here are the rules of engagement. Commit to yourself, show up each day, actually take a moment to center yourself. And whether that is shifting your weight in your chair, putting your feet on the floor, rolling back your shoulders, taking a couple of deep breaths, and really focusing in on being present in this moment, because you will get the most out of our time together this week if you are actively present, not multitasking, which we know is not something that's a thing, right? There's no such thing as multitasking. Your attention switching, and you lose a lot in that process. If we're in the live room, we appreciate you having cameras on. It's just a sign of respect for everyone in the room, and we're all in this together. And get ready to receive. Being in the receptive mode is your new superpower. And as women, I think we have to learn how to receive. We're always giving. We're always solving. We're always doing. And sometimes it takes an active focus to actually receive. So there's nothing you need to do in this moment except be here, be fully present, and receive new insights about your business or potential business. And identify your gaps, follow along in the workbook. If you don't have the workbook and need it, post and Kim and Christina will help you. So the takeaways from yesterday, we talked a little bit about some people needing to prove demand, some others looking at positioning and pricing. And this is what we're going to follow through for this week. So type in chat, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Where do you need to focus on profits? Proving demand for your offer, packaging and pricing your services, carving out a preeminent position in your market, or prioritizing the plan, or 5, all of the above. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, we're all over 5, all of the above. The truth is that all of these things need to be working in conjunction with the other to make your business grow reliably and have revenue be predictable in your business. So that's what we're working toward, this well-oiled machine that has demand, that has pricing and packaging that meets that demand, messaging that helps you establish that prominent position in your market. And then on Friday, we're going to prioritize the plan so that you actually execute on the things that are going to make you the most money and deliver the most impact. And we had an interesting discussion in the accelerator this morning about impact versus making money and charging higher fees. So when you are charging higher fees and not everyone is able to afford you, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, it puts you in the position of being generous and being able to offer partial scholarships to work with others who might be more in need. So I'm a huge fan of doing partial scholarships. I think we have had 6 scholarships in the Launch Lab so far this year. We pretty much have reached our scholarship quota. But we love giving back to women who have the desire to go deeper and do more. So here I am. If we don't know each other, I was a corporate leader turned mentor for women entrepreneurs. I've spent more than 25 years in sales, marketing, product development, and management, managed a $32 million P&L. I am committed to closing the revenue gap with women founders, and I've been a CEO for 11 years with consistent growth in the business. Like, even in difficult years, we have always grown revenues and profits. So my mission is to close the wage gap for entrepreneurship. If you were here yesterday, you already know that women earn only 30 cents to the dollar compared to our male business owners. And that's something that I am focused on rectifying through the work that we do. This is, again, a reminder of the Proven Profit Path framework. If you have your workbook, wherever you see this workbook icon, then there's an opportunity for you to fill in the gaps in your workbook. And today's agenda are the 4 stages of market awareness, 4 ways you can prove demand for your offers, how to choose your target audience, and how to dive into discovery with them. And you should be really excited about this phase of the journey. This is where curiosity really pays off, because you can do this. You can do this. Every person in this room, every woman in this room has the capability of launching a business that replaces your corporate salary. And there has never been a better time to do this and embrace the freedom and impact of entrepreneurship than now. And there is no one exactly like you or who can deliver the results that you can deliver. So today we're going to discover how to claim your unique position by understanding market demand. So here are the 4 levers of proven profits: a demand tested and validated market position, services that are packaged and priced for easy sale, targeted messaging that converts. And so sometimes we fall short on the conversion piece of target messaging, and we're putting content out there, especially in the social media space, just for the sake of providing content. And we're not looking at the complete, and we talked about this in the accelerator this morning too, is the complete trajectory of someone who comes into your ecosystem as a contact, then converts to your email list, and then they go through the nurture process to eventually become a client. So we want to make sure that there are conversion mechanisms in our messaging and in our marketing assets, and consistent visibility in the right networks, plus the ability to convert conversations into clients. So that's key. If you don't like to sell or you feel you're not good on sales, you need to get over it, hire someone else to do it, or keep your job. Because as a CEO, 80% of your time, especially in the initial stages, is on business development. And we want to create a system that we can easily rinse and repeat, so that you're not always creating new content, you're not always creating new experiences, you are rinsing and repeating the assets, the marketing assets that you're developing. So here are the 4 stages of awareness. And this is important when you start looking for demand. If someone is unaware they have a problem, they're not your ideal client. If they are not actively aware that there is a challenge or a problem that they need to solve in order to get on the other side of their pain to reach that transformation, and this is true whether it's an individual or whether it's people within a corporation who have a desire for something different, you need people to at least be problem aware. So our demand needs to come from people who are problem aware, and the ideal client is also solution aware. So it's okay if someone's problem aware and you can educate them as to your solution and why your solution is superior to other solutions. But if they're also solution aware, if they are actively looking for a coach or a consultant that provides your type of services, that's the person that we want to reach. People who are looking for solutions to a problem they're aware of. So solution aware right here, these are the ideal people to attract into your discussions about your idea. And then there's those that are product aware. So I have a lot of product awareness in the circles I participate in. And when people are product aware, that's when you have great referral partners and you're getting a steady stream of referrals from the people who know you and who are aware of you and who maybe were past clients or past colleagues. And so those are also great sources for your market research interviews, people who know you and are aware of what you're doing. So here's the 4 ways to prove demand. This is in your workbook if you want to fill it in. Find where people are getting solutions today. So if they're problem aware and solution aware, then they're actively getting solutions today. And some of those solutions may be working for them, and some of those solutions may not be working for them. So I am not the only business coach and mentor in the universe, surprise, people are getting solutions in other places, but sometimes those solutions work and sometimes they don't. Sometimes people don't know how to understand what the right solution is for them. So sometimes people are thinking more advanced. They're thinking they're at a more advanced state than where they are. So there's frequently times when people are just getting started and they may go to sign up for a course on how to get leads on LinkedIn. But if you haven't proven demand, if you don't know what you're packaging or pricing and selling, if you don't know what your messaging is, then generating leads on LinkedIn is not where you need to be focusing your attention, right? You need to be focusing your attention on the foundation. So we want to find where people are getting solutions today. We want to analyze the market for competitor solutions and gaps. This is another place that we've worked with our friends from Automate to Elevate to work with us to help us analyze the market for competitor solutions and gaps. And then we want to connect market research with real people who match that ideal client profile. And the questions you will ask are unique to you and unique to the people in your marketplace. So there's no one size fits all on, Deb, what are those? Because I know someone's going to ask me, what are those questions that we ask? So the questions are unique to you and unique to the people in your market. And then we can, again, leverage AI tools to help us identify the gaps and analyze those interview results for common themes. So test before you invest. Before you invest the time, the sweat equity, and the financial commitment is going to take in order to build a successful business, make sure that you've tested your business idea. Because you will invest. You'll be investing in software and technology tools. You'll be investing in education. You'll be investing in support by hiring a virtual assistant to help you create some of the assets that you're creating or manage operations on the back end. So how do you prove demand? Number one is you identify the gap. What is that problem that is in need of a solution or that no one is solving or no one is solving well? Research what the available solutions are. Where is there an opportunity that there's something that everyone else is missing? So when I started looking at, well, what's going in the market this year with respect to my market and my services, I realized that there were a lot of people selling solutions, but no one was really dealing with the mindset challenges that people face when they dive into entrepreneurship, the self-doubt, the procrastination, the perfectionism, the resistance, the imposter syndrome. These are things that are like putting brakes on your success, and they can take you down unless you have tools to be able to work through them. What do you do when a client says, you know, I don't want to work with you any longer? What do you do when you thought you were going to get a sale and someone ghosts you? So all of those things, what do you do when you're thinking too small and you have a bigger opportunity in front of you that you're too afraid to embrace? You know, how do you move through that fear and make bold moves anyway? So the mindset is super important. And then you interview people who are your ideal clients. There's no substitute for these conversations. And this is practice. This is practice for having sales calls. And it's a low impact way to have a sales conversation because you're not selling anything, but you're learning a lot about how your ideal client thinks, what they've already tried, what the value of a solution looks like to them, how much it costs them to stay stuck where they are. You're learning so much in these conversations that is then put to use not only in creating your service offer framework, it's also put to use in your marketing because there's nothing like a marketing post that gets a reaction like, oh my God, Deb, just get out of my head, which is what sometimes people say to me when I post on LinkedIn. So that's the kind of reaction that you want. And you want to test your hypothesis, you know, test before you invest. Don't just come up with an idea and say, oh my God, this is the solution, because maybe it is the solution based on your experience. I'm sure you're really smart. I'm sure you've spotted patterns in your work in the corporate world and you see what trips people up and you have a solution or a step-by-step process to work them through, but test that. Make sure they want to consume it in that way. Make sure the price point is something that has a good return on value for them and confirm that packaging, confirm that price range. Because when sales go south, when you're having tons of discovery conversations and no one is buying, one of these five things is happening. Number one is you've skipped the market interview stage. You have focused on your outside image instead of shoring up your internal value. Your messaging is an echo of what others are saying. You know, when you talk about, I'm an empowerment coach for women, I am sure that you are a fantastic empowerment coach, and we just need to position that and describe that in a different way so that it's not an echo of what other people say. And that's really important. And you start questioning if your pricing is right, and then you start discounting. The next conversation you have, you start lowering your price and lowering your price and lowering your price. But the value has nothing to do with your price. Whether or not someone says yes or no has nothing to do with your pricing. It has everything to do with how you positioned that sales conversation. And when you have these great market research conversations, you're in an excellent position to have powerful sales conversations. Because we don't want you to begin to question your worth. Because this is what happens. If you don't do the basic foundation, then you're out there selling. Maybe you have a lead magnet, or maybe no one's interacting with your posts on social media. And, you know, you've given a webinar, but no one signed up for any of your discovery calls. And then you start to question yourself. And the reason why we want to get these new techniques embedded in you, because this is a new role. You didn't have to do this in corporate. These are new skills that you're learning and you're developing. And when you practice them and you get good at them, then you start getting the results. And it has nothing to do with your worth or whether or not you're on the right track. It's a matter of how finely we tune the dial of focus on what your offer is and who your ideal client is. So this is Laura. Laura's a graduate of the Launch Lab. She is actually based in Vienna, Austria. She's American. And she was a VP of engineering for a financial services company. And she was a rare breed, right? So there are not that many women in positions of leadership with respect to engineering and leading a team of software engineers. She moved to Vienna. She made the leap to engineering leadership trainer. She tested and vetted her idea in the Launch Lab. She did one of the best presentations ever for someone assembling their market research results into a repeatable framework. And within 6 months, in fact, it was either when she was still in the Launch Lab or shortly after she graduated the Launch Lab, she won a six-figure contract. And that was extraordinary to be able to have dialed in the offer so precisely that in a matter of months, someone paid her over $100,000 to deliver it to their team. A market shift and change, and people do too. So we have outside forces outside of our control, such as the economy, the political landscape, climate change, if that affects you, also affect your business prospects. Business and personal priorities shift in importance, and new challenges constantly emerge. And you are also evolving and changing. And the more you understand about yourself and your value, and I will guarantee you that no one in this room sees themselves clearly. Once you truly embrace your value to the world, the reason why you're here, and the more you narrow in on what intuitively feels best to you, the more you trust your intuition, knowing that your business strategy is solid. So the number one CEO skill is to build a scalable offer from the start, to figure out, you know, how do I go from a one-person show to building one-to-many offers, which we'll talk about more tomorrow, one-to-many offers, or building a team of others who I can train, or maybe I'm building a certification program in my methodology and I'm going to teach and certify others in how to deliver it as well. So you can be the market leader in your space. First, we need to answer the question, what problem needs solving? And how would you go about testing your idea to get proof that people will invest in that solution? And someone asked me yesterday, well, where do you find demand? So this is where you find demand. You look in your professional networks. So identify your ideal client audience. I guarantee you, and I can brainstorm with you here, there are professional networks for those people, or you can go out and do a search and you can find the professional networks that people belong to, industry associations, online groups, whether your clients are on LinkedIn or they're on Facebook or in person. People are always gathering. If they have the same desire or a similar challenge, they're always gathering to share ideas and help each other figure things out. And so those are the rooms that you need to be in so you can find the people to have conversations with. And by the way, these are the same places you show up when you're selling and you're clear on what your offers are. Your colleagues and your personal connections, the meta connectors. There may be someone in your network who already knows the market very well that you want to enter into. And so you can almost do a meta interview with that person and understand, well, what trends are you seeing? Where do you see people get stuck? Where do you see demand for solutions such as these? So look at, and I guarantee you, you can probably in 10 minutes make a list of at least 10 to 20 connections who you know, who you could reach out to for a conversation. And industry leaders in your category. So I always love to coach with people who are ahead of where I am. So typically my business coaches are multi-million dollar earners who have been in business for 10 years or more and who have the scars to prove it and who have already been through a lot of the phases that I will go through on my business growth. So I look to them for advice as well. So great results come from excellent questions. So how you ask the questions in your interview is super important. You want a tight interview guide and you want to stick to it to a point. So you want to make sure that you ask everyone the same set of questions. However, be open to tangents and going down these paths of, wow, that's super interesting. Can you tell me more about that? What would that look like to you? How would you want to consume that? How often would you want to get together? What would be the important subjects that we cover in that offering? Or what would be your timing? How many people would you want included? What would be the results that you expect? I mean, you can brainstorm in your journal all the questions that you want answers to. And come from a place of sincere curiosity and active listening, right? So use all of your neuro-linguistic programming. And if you're not familiar with that, that's something else that we also teach in the Launch Lab, how to use NLP techniques in practicing active listening. And then test out your hypothesis. Can I run an idea by you? Are you open to have me share what I'm thinking about offering? And just remind people, I'm not selling you anything here. And frequently in these conversations, people will say, well, wait a minute, I know you're not selling anything, but I'd be really interested in talking with you at a future date about bringing you in to do this at our company. And don't be afraid to ask, is this something that you would invest in? So now it's your turn. Where do you see demand in your market and what problem needs solving? And tomorrow we're going to talk about scalable packaging and premium value pricing. And Wednesday, we have some special bonuses to announce. And Thursday and Friday, we actually have some people coming in who have launched businesses successfully for you to ask them questions, because there's nothing like hearing from someone else who has walked this path before you to understand what worked for them and what didn't work and how they overcame some of their most common challenges. So let's share some insights here. Would love to hear from you. How will you prove demand? Or do you have questions about how to prove demand and you'd like some support?
I couldn't agree more with you guys, with you, Deborah, specifically. I launched my business about 6 months ago. And to your point, the first thing I did before I launched, well, not the first thing, but one of the things that I did before I launched was I reached out to my colleagues. I reached out to people who are in the industry that I knew would give me the honest truth, not someone who was just reassuring me, yes, you'd be great at this. Yes, you'd be great at this. Really productive conversations that would kind of poke holes to my concept. I probably talked to about 10 people and I learned so much about the offer, about the concept, and it really helped me kind of determine how I was going to launch the actual concept once I did it. So I can't stress enough the importance of that insight. And also it gave me opportunities to kind of adjust along the way, because you really do convince yourself like, oh, people need this. People need this. But it's not about what you think they need. It's about what they believe they need. So
absolutely.
So I'm just sharing that. It was definitely a very important step in this process for me.
So I'm curious. Thank you so much for that share. What is your business and what have you done with the knowledge that you gained in that process?
Absolutely. So my business is, it's called Advanced Board Consulting, and it's leadership development for mid-level management. And my audience is tech companies, SaaS companies, because that's where my network is. So I'm kind of starting there. And, I originally went out with one offer, like, hey, this is your 90-day leadership launch pad. And I, you know, had spent lots of time in my, like, this is my one offer that everyone needs. And through conversations with people, what I did is I unpacked that offering. And so I offer three different services now: individualized leadership coaching, I offer workshops and breakout sessions, and the leadership launch pad, which encompasses all of it, plus a deep dive analysis of the current state of where that management team is today, and then how to build a program around it. And what that did is it really offered me an opportunity to pitch something that clients weren't so intimidated to invest in. And it got my foot in the door with some clients. And now, you know, it's kind of proven its worth, and I'm doing more things with different clients. So, and it gave me the confidence along the way as well.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that, Sherry. And tomorrow, when we talk about the services value ladder, we'll also talk about that progression of service packages. So what you thought was all one deal was really three separate offerings that progressed, you know, I'm sure with deeper levels of engagement and also deeper price points, right? So you're making more money as they do more business to you. That's a beautiful thing to create. So congratulations. Question, can you give an example of focus on the outside image? I'll come over to you next.
Hi, Deb. Hi, everyone. So I wanted to just share, reinforce some of the things that Deb, that you're sharing, and then I have a question for you. So I had the pleasure of attending one of Deb's sessions about, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, and I had literally just launched my business in July, and I was still in this kind of phase of like, you know, rates per hour and like I can be everything to everyone and like, you know, and this whole thing. And through, and I approached it not so much as like interviews, but as just connecting and like planting seeds. And so I network and I go to events and I just, that's my job, and is like building all of that, and just really just such incredible support from people and feedback. And from that, I've really honed in on who my ideal customer is, you know, like you said, like what my package is. I've been just blown away by the reception and by my clients. And I'm now delving into like thought leadership and speaking. I'm doing my first ever live webinar on Thursday for Verizon Small Business. And there's over 350 people attending.
Woo!
And of course, it's not paid, but you got to start someplace. But it's just been, I appreciate the knowledge that you shared. And it's really, it's been a guiding force for me with, you know, with everything I've been doing. So thank you. And my question is, and you kind of spoke to this a little bit a few moments ago, but I had this idea, and what I've been doing is I have, you know, packages and project base for majority of my clients, but then what I'm calling pre-launch, pre-revenue. So people that are, have an idea, they're working on developing something, trying to get it manufactured, but basically have no revenue. I want to help them and I want to work with them. You know, I still have to like pay my bills, but I'm trying to figure out a different way to do it. And so I was thinking, what I've been doing is saying, I don't do per hour, but for people that have revenue, but for you who's pre-revenue, you know, I'd be happy to, you know, we could do like 3, 4, 5 hours of calls and conversations over the course of 60 days. And I would charge you a reduced rate per hour rate. Do you feel like that's a good strategy? You mentioned kind of this idea of scholarship. And what are your thoughts when I talk to you about that?
Yeah, so I'm never a huge fan of reducing your prices for one-on-one time because, you know, your time is your most precious asset. Mm-hmm. And so I would find another way to serve the community that can't afford you. So I would find something that doesn't cost you anything and your time actually has a cost. Mm-hmm. Especially when we talk Friday about how much of your time should be focused on business development and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's also tied to your talk at Verizon and you saying they're not paying me. So here's a new way of thinking about that. I would rather speak for free and be able to make an offer, mm-hmm. especially if there are 300 mm-hmm. people signed up, than mm-hmm. for you to pay me, you know, $5,000 and I can't make an offer.
Right. So okay.
Can I make $30,000 by making an offer, or $5,000 if you pay me. So right. Sometimes people get stuck on, you know, I'm a woman, I want to get paid to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can work against you rather than in your favor.
Okay. Okay. So in your perception of this offer would be not so much me saying like, oh, I can do a reduced rate for everyone on the call, but maybe it's an extension of our conversation today. It could be this package and, you know, reach out to me and then give you more details or something like that.
I would create a lead funnel and I would do something, you know, I create a lead magnet that you can give away to the audience for free that gets them to convert to your email list. And then you're nurturing them through that process.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't spend time. I mean, your webinars are free training.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. This is so timely. I just have to say, I'm working with a coach on my LinkedIn stuff and I'm launching a company. And I heard about you yesterday, Deb, from my coach. I listened to some of your podcasts and I'm here today. I'm really grateful.
I'm grateful too.
I am launching a service, so an advisory services, specifically related to market growth, leveraging market research, which is my background. My idea at the moment, though I have to test demand, is fractional.
Mm-hmm.
A fractional partner. And I'm wondering if you've encountered that and if you have any specific advice to like what we're talking about right now, given the fractional aspect.
I love that. I love that question so much because there's a lot of people who are now leaving their roles saying, well, I could provide this level of service for other companies. You know, and everyone buys a slice of my time. So if you don't know what fractional is, it's selling a slice of your time as a senior executive, usually on a smaller team, bringing your expertise. So fractional CMOs, fractional CHROs, fractional CROs, you know, COOs, you name it. And there's a few things that I've seen happen. Number one is that there aren't good parameters and boundaries around what you're there to do and not do. So sometimes everything starts falling over the fence. The other is that once you get two clients, you can then feel like, oh my God, I've got a full-time job again. And this is like more complex, more headaches. And I'm not making as much money as I was then. Mm-hmm. So there is a downside to fractional. It takes up a lot of time because it is your time. So it doesn't have as much leverage in the offer.
Yes, because that's what I was wondering. How do I think about an offer in the world of fractional?
Maybe. Oh, in the world of fractional, that there's two things. One is you're just an advisor. So people are buying advisory time, mm-hmm. or you can be a one-to-many advisor. If you had a group of people that had the same challenges. So one, the business that I launched in the corporate world that we grew to $32 million in 30 months was a group program for executives in corporations. So a great example of that for small businesses is like Vistage. For large businesses in the tech sector, it's Gartner. The program I launched was Gartner for IT leaders. And that was enterprise IT leaders. That was a $50,000 offering that we sold to many executives. And that's where you bring leverage. So you find a narrow enough problem that enough executives have that they want to address. And then you have to figure out, well, where in the market do I play and how do I offer group advisory? Because people are lonely in their roles, whether you're a woman in corporate or you're a woman entrepreneur, or even if you're a man who's at the top of his category, you're looking for how other people have solved these problems before, and there's a lot of value in those group experiences. Does that help? I lost you.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm here somewhere. But yes, thank you for that.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Deb. I just have one question, and it's more related to my industry where, you know, it's in health and wellness, and in particular in my industry where it's for, you know, working with patients with specialty diseases like CKD or other kinds of chronic metabolic diseases. So when you think about positioning and when you think about pricing, it gets very complicated because A, you have to really understand what the marketplace is. So you cannot just put a price for, you know, your talent or your services. You really have to look at it across the board And, you know, it gets more complicated because then you have the insurances coming in and you have to abide to those regulatory rules. And so I'm struggling with that because you want to give them a solution which is unique and different from the other colleagues who are in the same business and also have the same, the clients or the same ideal customer. But so the pricing strategy becomes very, very tricky and it's difficult. And interestingly, I belong to another group yesterday and a person is charging like $3,000 for her healthcare programs. And she was bombarded on Facebook and on Instagram saying that this is not ethical in your world. So I just wanted to, you know, bring this up because all this is wonderful, but I just, one or two things you can just, you know, some guidance around that.
Right. So functional medicine is a unique category that is separate from traditional medicine. And I think it's hard when functional medicine specialists try to fit into the functional medicine model. Most functional medicine specialists, including the one I'm starting with tomorrow, do not accept insurance.
Okay.
And so, you know, if I want to submit insurance to the extent that my insurance will cover these types of services, then I can, and she will give me those reports. But first of all, I'm not really expecting that my insurance is going to cover this because it's functional medicine. And so I think it's not unethical. You're not the traditional medical model. And so it's okay to charge based on the outcomes that you are delivering for people. And I'm a huge fan of the package price. I know we're not going to work together till next year, but you know, if you're going down this path right now, I would say let's have a session and let's talk about your pricing.
Yeah.
And not go down that whole medical model and accepting insurance. It's a huge headache for you. It's a huge administrative burden for you.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to really pass that along to the consumer.
Yeah. And also this word, you know, when you see things like ethical, you just like take a step back, right? And say, oops, yeah. So yes, absolutely looking forward to our joining.
Sounds great. I'm glad that was helpful.
Very helpful. Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a question. Yeah, that's about group with the executives. That's one of the things that I'm targeting. That's my target market for a particular niche. But, you know, I've lived in the corporate world too, and I've never really seen executives be in a group coaching before. How do you get them to want to be part of that versus independently? Because it really works better with your time as an entrepreneur.
Yes. So let me separate coaching from advisory. So what I was talking about with business advisory. So for instance, you know, she could create a group on how to incorporate AI into your marketing without diluting your value proposition. You're welcome. So something like that, that would be an advisory. Maybe it would be a 6-month program or a year long program where people buy into that and there'd be a certain amount of delivery. Maybe there's some one-on-ones, you know, you test out the idea and you build out the value prop. Group coaching works very well with women entrepreneurs, you know, so with women leaders, I've got 3 group coaching programs for women leaders at various stages of business maturity. I belong to a couple of group coaching programs. So that is definitely a proven model in the market. And with the men, you know, they might be called like best practices groups, or they can be called business advisory groups. I would look into Vistage and see how they describe themselves. But I believe those are business owners in the $5 to $10 million range. And they get together on a regular basis. They have their person who I'm not sure what that person is called, their, you know, champion or their coach. There's a lot of different business models that have that. Okay, they tend to be annual retainer models.
Got it.
Is anyone else with a question? You said, I know who my ideal client is in theory, but I don't know them as individuals. Who are also ideal clients that I can interview? So did I answer that before in the professional associations industry networks?
Maybe. So thank you, Deb, by the way. And I was looking for the little raise my hand thing as you were calling my name. So I'm an investment and money coach. And so ideally, my clients are women who feel left behind by financial advisors and sort of left out of the conversation. So that's my client. But I don't know how to find those people as individual women with whom I can speak. Does that make sense? And I'm not sure that they would belong to professional associations or really kind of where they hang out.
They're everywhere.
We
are everywhere. So like, you can't get it wrong. You can't get it wrong. You go to a professional networking group and say, you know, give me your elevator pitch again.
Well, it's not very refined.
That's okay.
I'm an investment and money coach who helps women who feel left behind by the investment industry. Sort of unique in this way that I'm not a money coach, a financial coach who has to stay away from investing because the SEC,
right.
I'm actually a licensed investment advisor and a certified financial planner.
Yeah. So, I mean, even going into those groups and saying, you know, I work with women who feel left behind in their financial education and their ability to create a secure financial foundation for themselves. And I am looking to interview women confidentially who feel like they've been left behind. And, you know, so you can just do it in your elevator pitch. You can post in chat. I'm sure there are money groups for women. I'm sure there are people who follow popular podcast hosts like Farnoosh Torabi and So Money. I mean, really, when you think about it, they're everywhere. The first thought is like, oh, I don't know where they are. And then if you really thought about it, they're everywhere. You know, they're following certain people. So they'll be in certain communities. So even if I followed Farnoosh on LinkedIn, I might just look at her posts, see who's commenting on her posts. Maybe I listen to her podcast. She is a, you know, kind of meta expert on the industry. Even listening to her podcast, I might pick up a few tips because I think she does Q&As as well with members of her listener audience.
Very interesting. Thank you. A great insight. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Did you ask your question? How much do you give away in unpaid services to generate interest?
Yeah, that was just in response when she said about the Verizon thing, it occurred to me, it's like, how much do you do of that? Does that fall into the biz dev side of things?
Yeah, I mean, in order to be discovered, you need to give away your expertise. And, you know, there's a difference between knowing what to do and knowing how to do it.
And do you always do it in such a way that you're leading to potential clients, that you're putting something on the table for as an offering that you're, I don't know how the right language, but you're giving something, but then there's a way.
There's
to...
always more.
Yeah. Okay.
There's always more. You know, what is your area of expertise?
I do philanthropy advising.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So it's impossible for you to give away all of your knowledge, right? But you can identify with the challenges that your clients are having, and you can make some recommendations for what they could do to go about solving that problem, but you're not giving away the details of the how, like the step-by-step. There's so much that goes into launching and growing a sustainable multiple six-figure business that there's no way I could actually help you do it all in 5 hours. I mean, even spending an hour with you every day.
Thanks, Deb. I do have to drop early because I have a critical appointment coming up. So I don't want you to think that there's any...
No worries. Anyone else with a question?
Yes, I do, Deb. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Well, my question might come too early and perhaps I should wait till the later session. So tell me if it's too early. I have, can we say, a product, right, for women. So there is a need, there is a clear need. But my concern is perhaps the product is too, the need is so big, right? That it should be broken down into little bits, you know, for the women, because they're clear that that is the need, right? And I do have something that can solve that need.
Yes.
But sometimes they might be either hesitant to, you know, to embark on this thing, and perhaps it needs to be broken down. But if it needs to be broken down, my issue is time, right? Because then it means that, you know, your offering is probably smaller, and the pricing smaller, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe even that so-called smaller need can still be priced.
Yes.
That's a high value. So that's really my issue.
Yeah. So you kind of read my mind. I've been thinking about you since the question yesterday as well. And I was thinking that, you know, maybe the offer is just too rich as it is, and maybe it needs to be broken down to, like someone said before, the three different component parts, and that there's a starter package that gives them that quick win, that immediate need. And then, you know, with that trust that's imbued, and then they want to go more, they want to go further, they want to go faster. And then you can do it that way. Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, in this economy, that has been key. That has been a key strategy that successful people have implemented. Like, let's put a starter package out there. Let's have a feeder offer, if you will. And yes, we will talk about that tomorrow. It's a great idea. Yes.
Just to follow up to one question about the Verizon thing, giving away something for free. What if you're not allowed to give an offer at the end when you're doing it for a larger platform like that? What would you recommend?
Then what I do is I put up my QR code for my LinkedIn profile, and then we start engaging everyone in conversation.
If they allow you to do that.
Why wouldn't anyone allow you to do that? You know, if it's a big keynote and you can't do anything, then how much are they paying you?
We're not paying anything in Verizon. That's what she was on, Michelle was talking about, because I'm in that group too. And I've seen a lot of the presenters, and they don't do anything. It's pre-recorded. They're on there as a live. I've never seen anyone do an offer, and I'm not sure if Verizon is.
Well, then I would negotiate that in exchange for my participation.
Got it. Okay.
Because if you're not getting anything out of it, like, why donate your time to a big company just because they're cheap?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, everyone, we are at time. Thank you for your time and attention today. Tomorrow, we're going to go over the services value ladder, how to attract your clients with a feeder offer and then serve fewer people over a longer period of time. We're also going to talk about pricing. So we're tackling pricing and packaging in the same day. We have a lot to cover tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.